recording. Yeah. So we just got finished talking about 34b-3, talking about, you know, going from cheap places to expensive places. So there was, was it Rebbe? Reb Hananya quoted Rebbe as cutting off the tops of the cucumbers and then redeeming them at that value, which of course would be almost valueless. And Reb Yerchan was upset about it. He said, if you had Shutfim, who were dividing up, one on 9 parts and one on 1 part, would you say, let's cut it up? No, you would sell the whole thing and take 90% and 10% so as to not diminish the value of the payri, of the partnership. So he disagreed with this whole approach of Rebbe. So now we're going to continue on over here. Kahadah, top of Lamed Hay. Kahadah, Reb Shimon, Rebbe, Habam, Fakir, Al Yilain, Dor, Mai, Dama, Mazalzlan, Bay. Reb Shimon instructed Bar Kapara because he didn't like what he was seeing in this residents of the south that would cheapen the Meiser Sheni by designating small segments of the produce, cutting off the segments, and then they would do the redemption based on that price, which was a zilzal in the price. So he got upset. So he told Bar Kapara to go, you know, give a musser. So Nastan Bar Kapara, what did he do? He took their produce, he sliced into small pieces in front of them. Omar, so he said to them, Tavu Kum, is this worth anything at all? Cut up produce is barely worth anything at all, so don't do this with your Maisa Sheni. Okay, so this is a very interesting story. The reason why this is an interesting story, we're going to see soon, is because this whole Gemara is L'chaira, not like the Rambam brings from the Ga'inim, that it's in Parak Beis Hilchos Maisa Sheni, that you could, Bizman HaZeh, what do? You put any amount of Maisa Sheni on a pruta, because you can't eat it anyway, right? We can't eat Maisa Sheni unless you have a base on Mikdash, or at least you have at least a Mizbeach, according to some. And since we don't have that, you can't eat it. So you have to be put in anyway. So some say that's also true by Hektash. Because the rule is, let me just tell you the rule. The rule is, ein oinah lehektash. That means you can overcharge hektash or undercharge hektash, however you want to look at it. So therefore, even though you might have hektash worth $100, I can be pointed on a pruta. It's worth $100. Ein oinah lehektash, too bad. So I can transfer all the kedusha over. So if Meiser Sheni is Maman Gavaya,
what's the purpose of putting it?
No. Once you put it, the kedusha comes off. There's no problem eating it if you take off the kedusha Meiser Sheni. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's only Meiser Sheni as long as it has kedusha Meiser Sheni. Once you put it has halacha like chulin. The kedusha goes on the pruta. Yeah.
So why don't we do that all the time?
We do. Now, as Mazel, we do that all the time. That's exactly what we do.
Transfer to a pruta.
No, you can't do that.
Because
you're not allowed to do that lechachila. You have to.
You only do it because there's no.
You're right. B'diavad, you're probably right. B'anamikdash probably b'diavad would work also, but it's not proper to do that. So now all these cases over here where they're being poda. But the Rambam writes, but it's a midas chasidus to go ahead, even Bizman HaZeh, and try to do it according to the right value. So the Gra asks on the Rambam from our Gemara. He says, no, what are you talking about? If it's only Minas Chasidus, how could Reb Yerchanan get upset? Reb Shimon. How could Reb Shimon get upset at these people? This is talking about after the Horban. Who cares what method they use to cheapen the price? So that's the Gra's problem. So that's going to be it's going to be essential to how you understand our Gemara. So some say the Pshat is because they were trying to do Midas Chasidus, and he was trying to work with them within the Midas Chasidus context, and that's what's going on. it's a whole bir halach about this. Okay, let's go on. Arkadon mila makarta tov la tova. We know cutting off, what does it say here? The cutting off ma'aser sheni prior to the redemption to an item when cut does not retain a favorable value. Mila makarta v'tava. What is the law, however? In other words, if it's a cucumber, we all know that if you cut off the top of the cucumber, the top is not worth anything. Next to nothing, right? But what if it's, let's say, what do they sell in Seven Mile Market? That's this hard that they make squash. Acorn squash, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard, and you can chop it up into little pieces.
They do sell it chopped up.
And they sell it chopped up, so it's very hard to cut it up. So that doesn't lose any value, really, hardly any value.
It may gain value.
It may even gain value. But anyway, so it says, Mila Makata Vatava. That's the Yerushalmi's question. What if it's something that will be worth?
Exactly. That's just
that. What if something does not lose value? What's the halacha then? And it's a by delay of shita. The Gemara doesn't answer it. Okay. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Amar Ein Part of Ma'aser Sheni Al Shloishim B'Shisha B'Shvoi. So he's again going with this idea that you have to use a certain minimal amount when you're coming. When you want to be part of Ma'aser Sheni, you need to still use certain minimums. He doesn't want to just make it pruta. So what he's doing is he's taking 136. So if something is worth 36 prutos, you could not be poted for one pruta because that's 136. If it was worth 37 prutos, then you could use one pruta because that's 137, which is
3% return.
Yeah.
That's not a
bizarre. Correct. Okay. On Rav Chizkiya, Zeshu Machala, Lohim Machala Chatzi Pruta, if you're deconsecrating Ma'aser Sheni onto coins, you should not use a half Pruta. Because Shalohim Machala Simo, because it's using a half Pruta is like using a slug. I'll say that Simo is a slug, right? It's an unstamped coin, right? Ad Shavar Pruta. You should have to use Shavar Pruta. On the bottom, note 12, he asks a question. Why do they have to worry about Kesef Shei? Why are they talking about half pruta being like a simon? Why don't you say half pruta is not considered moment at all? We always have a klal, a cholat terakula, that less than a pruta is not moment. If I steal half a pruta, it's not really stealing, right? So he says and answers that we're talking about a case where you want to redeem Ma'aser Sheni worth more than a pruta, using numerous half-pruta coins. So he's telling us that since each of the coins is worth less than a pruta, they lack significance and they're considered unminted. Okay, next. Paiden Ma'aser Sheni Kishar Hazol. You have to use the cheaper, you can use the cheaper rate. That is to say, if the storekeeper buys wholesale, sells retail, you could use the wholesale price when you're doing the redemption. Amar Ba'imi, come all come Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. There were many people that come in front of the Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The Inun Ami, they would say to them, "Pike," they would ask them how to. They were coming in front to ask how to do we pike a Ma'aser Sheni in the best oifen. Which let's say for the time being that it means that they're asking for the midas chasidus. Okay, the Inun Ami, they would say, "Pok ashleim kadein tanoya." Let's use this tana that it says, "Pidei Ma'aser Sheni b'shas hazol v'lo k'shas hayarka." That if you want it, you could use the inexpensive rate and not the expensive rate, meaning the wholesale rate. This is important change from what we said in the Mishnah. The wholesale rate may be used as a basis for the redemption of Ma'aser Sheni only when the lower price is actually in use in the marketplace. You can't use the whole, in other words, it's not like we were saying before, when we learned the Mishnah, we were saying the wholesale price, you could use that even though it's not available to all the Hamoinam, but to the storekeepers it is available. So we said you could use it. We are going to say no, that's only if at some time during the market process it was available at the wholesale price. Then you could continue to use that price. That's what it says over here. And in variant C, he goes into this whole long discussion about how to be part of Bezman Hazeh. I covered it already. Okay. Kamois Shahachemini Lokeach. like the storekeeper buys it, lo kama shul marker, not like he sells it, kama shul shulchan lipare, like the exchanger changes large coins for smaller ones, lo kama shul mitzarif, not how he combines small coins into larger ones. That's what we said in the mission. Ad kedoyin war amid beis lamed hay beis. Ad kedoyin dover meruba. Remember when a money exchanger changes coins, he's not changing here. You want I'm coming to you. I've got a quarter. I don't want two dimes and a nickel. That's not the kind of He's not working with. You're going there with a $100 bill, a $50 bill. You know, if you give him a $20 bill, he gives you a dirty look. He's not interested in small change. So maybe if I have a small amount of my Sasheni, maybe I can't use this heter, because maybe then it's nicker that I'm not acting like a coin changer. That's the Gemara is coming to tell me that. That's Gemara asking. Ad kedoyin dover meruba. We understand if you're using a large amount of money, it looks like you're a money exchanger. But dover muad, if you have a small amount of money, would you still be able to use the small exchange rate of the money changer? The Gemara says, afilu kein. Even so, you could do it anyway. The rabbis, number two, did not differentiate. That's like the old loy plug, right? Next, Shdom of Yidun, if it's known value. So Rav Nachman by Yaakov Makavi Chosel and Agora. So Rav Nachman would show this basket of Meiser Sheni to a craftsman to assess the value. This again is these Gemaras we're about to read. You see, they're all being very careful to assess the value. This is the kasha that they ask. So why did the Rambam say the Bisman Azeh Hayru Hagoyim, you could exchange it on a pruto? All these people are figuring out the real value. What's going on over here? Why are they bothering with that? The answer is, you're going to have to say, they're all being noheg minus chasidus. That this is a lachachila way to be noheg, I guess. So again, Nachman Yaakov is showing this to an expert for his assessment. And for a couple of May, he would be put it on that basis. He would show a quarter cob container of wheat to a wheat dealer, and he would tell him the volume of Farakal Pumei. Again, he would convert it according to what he said. Reb Simon Chavi Peirin L'Reb Chilkia. Now, in this case, he's not happy with the outcome of what was advised. Reb Simon is showing his produce to Reb Chilkia. Amalei B'Shav Yehen. So Reb Chilkia told him a price which was the full retail value of the produce. So Malay, so he got upset at him. He said, "Kain Amar Rebbe." Rebbe said, "In point of my Zasheni al pi hashaitan," that the word of the incompetent, not fools here, but incompetent. You're going ahead and quoting the real, right? The retail value. That's certainly not what I have to use. So what are you quoting me the expensive value for? So he was upset at him. Then the next statement is almost similar. Rabbi Pinchas Chavi Peirin Ligaroisa. He showed his produce to a bean grinder. Amalei B'Shavi. And again, he told him the retail value. Amalei Hakan Amar Reb Chilkia B'Shem Reb Simon. Now the Yerushalmi is quoting Reb Chilkia, who was the one who was called a Shaita before. He's the one that's being quoted now as quoting Rebbe, right? It's very funny. Reb Simon, that ain't part of my Sashenia P.R. Shaita. And so therefore, you're not. I don't have to use what you said, okay? Okay. Now we're going to have examples of especially low rates. Amar Rav Shammai. Kamod Barnash Ba'i. According to the exceptionally low amount a person would ask when offering produce for sale. V'tihara tahayra at high noon. It's Kufas Tamas in the middle of the summer season. In other words, it's boiling hot. We all understand that now. It's boiling hot. You're outside and you've got produce for sale. You want to get out of the sun and you're going to just sell it for, just buy it off me. I'll give you half off, right? So if you have that, you can use that price. Is that what it says? He calls it the Tammuz solstice. Yeah. Kvasher baloni masik lizuraya. After the bathhouse attendants have already wrung out laundry, right? So they were put out to dry, right? So again, they were spread in the sun to dry. Someone who's selling produce in such sweltering heat will settle for a drastically reduced price. He's interested in concluding the sale as quickly as possible. That's what it says here. So when these conditions exist, you can bring coins and redeem the Meiser Sheni on the basis of that inexpensive price. It sounds like it has to exist at the time of the pinyon. It's not enough that it once existed and now it's cooled down, where it's like late at night and the weather is cold again. You can no longer use that. That's what it sounds like. He mentions that. Right. However, once the conditions improve, the earlier and expensive price may no longer be utilized. Right.
So in the winter you can't do it.
So it's just a temporary thing. Another example of an unusually low price is like this. It's Erev Shabbos. Amar Mirmiyah, Kamar Bar Nash Boi, if a person would seek to pay buying produce, Aruvta V'Vesei Ramsha, on the Shabbos Eve, close to sunset, Min Shaya Kolon, the women are braiding their hairs in preparation for Shabbos, Umavir Alehin, he diverts from his normal route to find the lowest price possible, umaite priestin umifarkine, and he brings coins and redeems the Meiser Sheni on the basis of that inexpensive price. Because again, it says these women will usually agree to sell their produce at a lower price due to the hectic atmosphere prevalent at that time. So that's what he's basically doing over here. He's going into a neighborhood, circulating around, finding a woman to sell him produce when she's so busy she has no time to think. Okay. So that's another example. Amar Reb Yudon Bar Gadya, Reb Yaakov Bar Bun, Manichan Olam, Ad Sheyich Moshu. He would leave the produce until it withered and it decreased in value. Upoida Oison Moitzoi Shabbos Miyad. And he would redeem it immediately after Shabbos. The prices are lower than usual because people don't have money with them right after Shabbos. So they're generally somewhat lower on Moitzoi Shabbos. Or there's less demand. Whatever the reason is, it's left because it's Shabbos food left over for, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I eat Shabbos food left over all the way through Wednesday. So it's Moitzoi Shabbos, certainly it's a lower price. Anyway, so that's basically the daf. And we can end it here or we could keep going until the Mishnah. What do you want to do? You want to keep going?
Yeah.
Keep going. Rav Mona Havalei Meshach. So Rav Mona had some oil of Meiser Sheni, va'achasei le'ako. He brought it down to Akko. What does it say over here? Let's see. You can't move Meiser Sheni from one location to another, so why was he able to move it? The answer is that after the destruction of the temple, it doesn't matter. So you could move it after the basement was carved. Okay. So that's an answer to that question. Amalei Rav Chiya Bar Ado. In Hahu Mishka de Beis Makakayam, is any of that superior oil of the Beis Hamikdash still around? Right? As long as the superior oil of Beis Hamikdash is available, ordinary oil is less desirable. So he's asking, is there any of this fancy oil still around?
Did they give Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani after the Churban?
We're talking about a situation where
you have a little bit of a pruta. That's Bizman Azeh. But these people are acting like they're really redeeming it.
Yeah. So the truth of the matter is, Rav Chaim, his Bir Halacha mentions that there was a time period after the Churban, all the way up until the Amorite period, where there was still Paraduma water available. And they could have been mitar themselves, and therefore, it's possible, he suggests, this is a possibility in that Bir Halacha I mentioned to you, in Perek Beis, that it's possible that they were being machmer. Okay. In Ahum Mishka, because he claims that it would be very easy to just build a mizbeach, so therefore it will be possible even to eat it. Okay, whatever. In Ahum Mishka, the base Maka Kayam, Ha Intach, the Mifakine, so it's a good time to redeem the oil. The La Tavshita Mine is currently not valued, even at 1/6 the price of that superior oil. So this is a good idea. It's just another example of Maaser Sheni being redeemed inexpensively. Now, what about if it's not known price? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, part of Maaser Sheni, al pi shlosh l'kuchas. What you do is you have, we mentioned, we thought that the three people were to assess the value, but it could be what we have is a bidding war. You have three people, so you have three people bidding on it, so you get the best price. I feel like my guy, even one is a guy, I mean, Bali, even if one of them is the owner himself. Okay. Now, does it mean it can include both a guy and the owner, or does he mean independently? So the Gemara explains this. So, b'yona b'y, shnehem goyim lo. It sounds like two of the assessors are goyim, that's not good. Shnehem balam lo, for them both to be the owners, it's also no good. What about echad goy v'echad balo? So then, it seems like then even one each also would be no good. In other words, if you're saying you can't have two of each, so maybe you can't have one of each either. Let's start in the summer. So he's just saying, let's start it, meaning if it's, a guy is available, so you use a guy. If a husband's available, you use your husband, right? An owner. So that's the way he says this here. Now, I just mentioned to you that the Rambam says that you can use the owner and his two wives as the three people. Rambam says explicitly. I feel Baal Shnei Noshov could be to make up this three. No. So it's an assessment. Okay, hold to
status quo.
You're unmuted. You have to unmute yourself.